Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. Welcome to What's Next. Today, we're going to be talking with Chantel Patton. Chantel has been with us before. She is the proprietor that has brought us That Brown Bag, That Brown Bag Minority Business Directory. Chantel, always busy and glad to have you with us. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So you're already trying to, you're in the process of pivoting this, but, and I want to get into that. But let's just make sure, and for those who aren't familiar with That Brown Bag, you know, what exactly it is in its current state.
So in its current state, That Brown Bag is a hard copy annual printed directory that highlights all of the Black-owned businesses in Western New York, Central New York, and Toronto.
Simple enough there, for sure. But now when we're talking about pivoting, though, you have, I mean, you're changing with the times to a certain extent. Now, we can get into what exactly is influencing that, but let's talk about what you're projecting here.
Absolutely. So the goal is to make the directory and its contents more accessible, whether it be to the general public or to a larger consumer base. So we're currently pivoting, still going to continue to print the hard copy directory for some time while we transition to a digital portal platform that will allow individuals the ability to access, search, and filter with a little bit more specificity what they're looking for in regards to a Black-owned business. So if they're looking for specifically a bakery that can do 1,000 cookies in a short capacity of time, they'll be able to search that out. And I think that's going to make that a more user-friendly and a more accessible way to locate these businesses.
And you were saying before we went on the air that in a lot of ways you can see this becoming larger in terms of demand because of the need to fulfill a certain level of contracting when it comes to minority and Black-owned businesses, correct?
Absolutely. Most states have some type of budgetary requirements if you want to receive funding. New York State, for example, is a 30% budgetary requirement that has to be used with MWBEs, Minority Women Business Enterprises. And that's in order to receive any funding, any grants, things of that nature. And so what we were finding is that the businesses who have this budgetary requirement were often returning at the end of the year with an excuse that said we could not find individuals to fill this budgetary requirement. That ultimately turned into the state loosening the terms of what an MWB is.
Okay.
To be quite frank with you, you can be a Caucasian woman and be MWBE certified because you are a woman-owned business enterprise.
Oh, okay, all right.
And what we had found way back when was individuals putting businesses in their wife's names in order to receive the designation. What we really want to do is ensure that we highlight what is normally an underrepresented population in the business world, which is going to be the minority business owner. So being able to present them on a larger platform and bridge the gap between their maybe brick and mortar or online business and, say, for example, your M&T banks, your ECMCs, your Moogs, and the Brown Bag is there to stand in the gap to connect the two. That says, I know ECMC has an initiative where they are looking to fill vendor spaces. Let's make it easy for the person that sits in the seat that has to curate these vendor relationships. Let's make it easier for that person to do their job.
Since you were last here, It's been almost 2 years now, right?
Yes.
How has, not so much of your company, but have we seen an increase in Black and minority-owned businesses? Are we seeing that? And I want to be more specific, of course, because we are talking to Buffalo, but more in this community. Are we seeing that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What I will say is, while unfortunate as the pandemic of COVID-19 was, it birthed a whole new generation of entrepreneurs. And it birthed a lot of that generation of entrepreneurs out of necessity. Businesses closing, no more office hours, no more walking into brick and mortars. And it caused a new spark of creativity, ingenuity, and entrepreneurship. In the Buffalo community, you know, I've seen going into business accelerator programs and seeing individuals that I knew for a fact had corporate positions, and now they're saying, no, I want to be an entrepreneur instead. I want to have a little bit more control. And so it gives me great joy, you know, to be able to amplify these business owners, especially these infant business owners, because normally they don't have the capital to market.
Certainly. And I can appreciate that. So you're talking to a new business, right? What do you see? What are you seeing both from a positive? It sounds like you've said kind of a creative spirit mm-hmm. that's learning to kind of navigate a new world. But at the same time, and beyond lack of capital, what else do you see that is needed for some of these business owners?
Business education. Financial literacy, also wellness programs, because being an entrepreneur is different than logging into a 9-to-5 every day. And it's a different form of wellness. You know, it's different form of self-motivation. It is different form of meditation. You don't, entrepreneurship can often be lonely. So it's also in finding ways to commune with other entrepreneurs. Also ensuring that we're supportive of one another. There's 75 different brands of bread sitting inside of a Tops right now.
Right.
And none of them care. Sara Lee doesn't care that Artisan is next to her. And Hostess doesn't care that the store brand is two shelves under them. Everybody is going to buy their own personal brand of bread. And they can coexist on the same shelf as we can also in business.
You know, this brings up a theme that I want to see if I can explore a little with you. You know, May 14th, 2022, we recall the tragedy and the sadness.
Yes.
We also recall at least what seemed to be, and I think a lot of people predicted this, kind of a temporary outpouring of empathy mm-hmm. and, you know, all very positive. I'm curious if you have seen that translate into more businesses, more Black-owned businesses, seeing, you know, more of that outpouring turning into, you know, real transactions.
So let me start by saying I live so close to the Tops on Jefferson, I can hear Deli, you have a phone call on 801 from my living room.
Mm.
Okay. So, it was literally in my front yard, and recalling that outpour that showed up, and during the weeks that immediately followed, you know, the shooting, I kept asking, where will they be in a year?
Right.
Those who remain, they're there, they're steadfast, they're strong. I have seen increase in the businesses in that area. Prime example, Golden Cup Coffee.
Certainly, right.
Got to give a huge shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Stitz.
Yep. And if you haven't had a chance, have tried the sweet potato pound cake mm-hmm. sometime. But anyway, I apologize.
It's okay, because that is definitely one of my favorites in there. But they are now in a process of expanding.
Excellent.
They're going to be moving from the corner of Jefferson and Utica to the corner of Jefferson and Glenwood, I believe, which is going to be a larger space, which indicates to me growth and expansion within their business. You don't move into a larger space if your business isn't growing.
Right.
Seeing, you know, spaces like Pixie's Bar and Grill being worked on and, you know, the owner, Kenny Ivy, going in there and saying, I'm ready to reopen and I want to reopen on Jefferson. while, again, as unfortunate and as tragic as it was to go through the 514 shooting, that there's nothing that we can say we're going to find a silver lining in that we lost 10 souls. What it did do for the east side of Buffalo is it shed light on what I feel was a forgotten territory in the city of Buffalo. Forgotten, overlooked, and undervalued. And now individuals are starting to recognize the value that has been there all along. There's a, for me, Jefferson Avenue is Buffalo's Black Wall Street. There is a huge concentration of Black-owned businesses up and down Jefferson Avenue. And now, after someone came and tried to steal from our community, he actually didn't realize that he deposited into it. I hope he sits with that every night as well.
Well, and there's a lot of things we could hope for that individual that aren't necessarily all that a positive. Chantel Patton with us this morning on What's Next. I like what you called Jefferson Avenue, the Black Wall Street of Buffalo. Is there more room for more businesses on Jefferson?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. There are vacant properties. There are vacant lots. I think what we need is, and especially now we've got, you know, new mayoral administration sitting, is I think we really need to have a conversation about where we're investing business-wise, where we are putting grants and funding and, you know, revitalization monies at, and the Jefferson area, the Fillmore area. We're talking about, you know, covering the expressway. What are we putting in its place? And there's absolutely room for more Black-owned business, for more businesses, period, on Jefferson Avenue and beyond in the surrounding adjacent areas as well.
You know, we don't like to talk about the idea that, you know, these projects sometimes, well, we put this here and everything else is going to grow. And we can go all around the city of Buffalo and Western New York and find a lot of those that have not worked. But what about for Jefferson? Is there something that you say, hey, if this was here, this would help spawn growth all around this area?
I honestly think it's already there. It just doesn't get enough shine.
Okay.
And that would be the Beverly Gray Exchange, Beverly Gray.
Okay.
There's two of them. And then also immediately adjacent would be the Foundry, the Makerspace. I don't think they get enough promotion. I don't think they get highlighted enough. But these are two spaces dedicated to teaching individuals about entrepreneurship, business ownership, connecting them to resources. And if more people were to utilize them, the awareness would grow. But it's there. It's there and it's present. It's the awareness.
Okay.
I think it's the awareness that's missing, because the tools and the resources, they've been put in place.
Also, it's interesting when you look at the mission statement at the Brown Bag. You know, you like to try to help businesses exchange best practices with like-minded individuals with the to understand the unique journey of Black-owned businesses. The unique journey. I really like the way that sounds. So let's talk about what you hear. What's inside that journey for Black-owned businesses, especially here in Buffalo?
More often than not, individuals from my community, when they're starting a business, it's not, I'm going to school, I'm going to get a degree in business administration, I'm going to learn accounting, I'm going to learn marketing. It's, I've got this dope idea, and I feel like people will buy it. And so that journey for a Black entrepreneur, I think my best analogy, and I say this all the time, is we build planes while we're in the air. We know where we're going,
right.
But we are literally winging it at every turn. It is in knowing where to go for resources, and sometimes that's difficult. It is in finding mentorship. Sometimes that proves to be difficult. Now we've got this uprising of business accelerator programs, and, you know, like the Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership has a couple of different programs, some for women, some for minority business owners. But I think that was really going to be like the underlying theme that I found with talking to a lot of entrepreneurs is, again, I've got this super dope idea, but I don't even know where to start.
Right. I love that analogy. That really is quite the metaphor. We're building
a
plane as we're flying. We're in the air. So But at the same time, that also, while it expresses maybe a little uncertainty or maybe a lot of uncertainty down the road, where are we flying to? How are we getting there? Well, our plane's not built yet. At the same time, I think it highlights maybe a unique set of skills or talents. What is inside that? What influences that?
I think that even goes back generationally when we talk about, well, I always say my Black history didn't start with slavery, but my American Black history, they wanted to start with slavery. But I think it's in seeing the ingenuity, the creativity, the we're going to build something out of nothing, that's generationally ingrained into my people. It's we're going to give you scraps and you make soul food. You know, we're going to give you projects and you make them into homes. We're going to give you the hood and you're going to make it, you know, into Hollywood. So I think that there is something to be said about the creativity and the ingenuity that is passed down in our DNA. And it comes from survival tactics. You push people against a corner, one of two things. They're either going to fly, they're going to run, or they're going to fight. And my people have a huge practice of, you're not going to make us run.
Mm.
So we're going to fight, and we're going to fight the best way we know how, and that is taking what you gave us while laughing and turning trash into treasure.
What about on the other side of it, though? And it's not a pretty side, in the sense that what are the obstacles? What are the attitudes that you think are holding back? And obviously being under resources is a huge thing. You can never overstate that. Mm-hmm. That is obvious. But I'm assuming there still are attitudes that get in the way of Black businesses trying to move forward.
It's not even attitude, it's ego. The majority of the time it is ego. It is, I don't need help, I already know. I asked my cousin has a business. But your cousin's been winging it for the past 10 years. Mm. He just got lucky, you know? Mm. So the majority of it is going to be ego. If we can put our egos off to the side, if we can humble ourselves and say, and I struggle with it too, I need help. And then accepting said help when it's handed out. I have literally been the epitome of building the plane while I'm in the air. I've built that brown bag literally while in the trenches. And so while, yes, I can say I got lucky because it worked, but I did have to go back and educate myself because I knew that there was only so high I could take this plane.
Okay.
The altitude is limited if I'm limited.
Yeah, that's interesting. So what have you? So you had to go back and look at the diagrams for how to build the plane. I'm going to keep going back to that that metaphor, but I think it's worthwhile, and we can have some fun with it too at the same time. But so let's talk about what have you learned? I mean, both whether it's through education or just through hard knocks.
Combination. So, I mean, I took it upon myself to say, how can I tell a business owner how to be a business owner first and foremost? And I was still going to work for someone else every day.
Mm.
So the first thing I did was say, I quit. and then I began to immerse myself into various business programs, business accelerators, the IC Success Program at the Buffalo Niagara Medical Group, the MWE program at UB Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership, going through programs as well to show the example that says, I can't recommend a program to you if I haven't tasted it myself. That's like me saying, eat this chicken and I've never eaten it before, but it's delicious, you know? So in doing that, it also allowed me to expand my tribe. I found wonderful coaches and mentors in these programs who I still, post-graduation, am able to pick up the phone and call. Taking the time out to really deep dive into who am I trying to reach with the directory? Is it my everyday going into, you know, Family Dollar consumer, or what's going to make the greatest impact for the business owners that I'm serving? Let's get them to a bigger audience. And then I went through a series of pitch competitions.
Right.
Pitch after pitch after pitch. But those were my validation moments that says if someone's...
Were they all validations or were there, again, hard knocks in there?
I had a couple of hard knocks.
Yeah.
Everything's not roses, and
right.
I'm willing to
learn, though.
Yeah, and absolutely willing to share with people, because we always share our victories.
Yeah.
But being willing to share the shortcomings, the downfalls, those moments. I tell people all the time, I wake up every morning and I quit the directory. Every morning I'm like, I'm not doing this. But then I get a phone call from a business owner that says, thank you.
Sure.
And I'm like, I guess I'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've definitely pitched, and they're like, yeah, no, we don't believe you. You need more people. And then I've pitched, and I've had individuals say, give her $100,000 for this.
Mm.
Give her $15,000 for this. So my give hers ring louder for me than the no's. However, for me, no doesn't mean no. It means next opportunity. So it's an opportunity for me to ask the person that said no, why did you say no?
What did you hear?
And it was actually one of the caveats was people were concerned about what's happening right now with DEI initiatives.
Mm.
So we're going to pour money into this Black business directory, and then people are going to say, screw DEI. And now we've poured this money into this directory that now is pointless. And I'm like, it's never going to be pointless. Was the Green Book pointless? Green Book's still relevant today. The Green Book is now that brown bag.
Right.
So.
Right. So, but that is a legit, I don't want to use the word legitimate concern, but that is a concern that you've been hearing
mm-hmm.
about the DEI. I mentioned it before I came into this interview. I just caught a press conference with the current federal administration, and apparently that's going to be an ongoing theme for mm-hmm. the near future on a federal level for sure. Okay, let's talk about the successes then. Come on, what was it like when you the first time it said, "Yeah, here's some money"?
That would be I see success, and
okay.
Jueria Dahir is the executive director over there, and she just instilled a lot of confidence in, you know, you having already been doing the directory for a couple of years. Yay, this is cute. And she was like, no, ma'am, you've got the potential to take over a lot with this. So we're going to give you a couple $1,000s. Let's see what you do with it. And that was an aha moment. For me, like, people are willing to pay more than a couple bucks for this
mm-hmm.
Because they see the potential in it. Led me into, you know, okay, I'm going to do another competition and another competition, which ultimately led me to Springboard New York. And as nervous as I was for that pitch, because I was asking for a lot of money.
Right.
Literally, they said I hung up because the pitch was done by Zoom. They said, I hung up from the Zoom call and everybody said, give her the money. Like, there was no deliberation in that one. And again, aha moment, I'm on to something. Get to the UB Cultivator program and I probably pulled out a lot of hair because that was for a 6-figure check.
Oh.
So everyone is like more validation and more confirmation. And likewise, finished that pitch and they said, we'll talk to you in a couple of days.
Hmm.
I'm like, great. This is a Tuesday. Great. The rest of my week shot. And that was at like around 11:30 a.m. And at 2:30, my coach from the program said, we need you to hop on a Zoom. And I said, this is either going to be really, really good. Or this is going to be really, really bad. And I hopped on the Zoom and they said, we couldn't even wait. Congratulations, you're into phase two and you get the $100,000. And I say that, and that's not like a bragging statement. It is a statement that says you can find ways to fund your dream that doesn't include asking a bank for money.
That's encouraging.
Yes.
Should have told me that a long time ago, but that's another story.
Because I have no loans for right. the directory whatsoever. No loans,
so
no outstanding
this all
credit, everything.
Out of your pocket.
Or, yes.
And now and you're getting some much needed infusion of capital to help you expand as well. We most certainly want to get into those plans, but just a little bit back to that whole thing. So, when you were doing these pitches, how specific did you have to be about what you needed or what you wanted, you were targeting that money for?
Every pitch is different.
Okay.
They always want to know what you're going to spend the money on. So Springboard is a little loose. What's your budget? What would you like to use it for? Where are you going to direct the funds? $15,000. I'm going to hire a web developer. UB Cultivator was very specific. How much are you going to put towards, you know, the marketing? How much are you going to put towards the platform development? What's your stage for sustainability beyond this investment? What are your plans for customer acquisition and customer retention? And by going through the previous accelerators, I had answers to those questions. Had I gone through the UB Cultivator program before going through iSeek Success, and they said something like, what's your customer acquisition cost or your CAC? And I'd have gone, my what? So,
like I was just about ready to do myself, but anyway, yeah.
But learning the formulas, learning what goes into the difference between acquiring a customer and keeping a customer, and how much is a customer worth over X amount of years, it helped me determine who was I targeting, who do I want to talk to, and how long do I want to keep them as a customer. We always talk about wanting forever customers, but honestly, they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. So it's now, okay, I want to retain this corporate customer for at least 5 years. That's a tangible goal. So, you know, going through getting those yeses, they're validating. They're also humbling. It's you believe not just in the product, but you believe in me because it's just me behind this product. So if you believe in the brown bag, you believe in Chantel.
And we are talking with Chantel Patton today on What's Next. Chantel, the founder, and like she said, she is the one behind that brown bag minority business directory. A lot going on there, a lot moving forward. We'll get into some of those future plans and talk about more issues in and around the community as well. Chantel most certainly is well tied in. We'll take a time out and come back with more. This is What's Next on WBFO.
Did you know that Buffalo Toronto Public Media produces shows that earn New York Emmy nominations and awards, Webby Awards, Telly Awards, GLAAD nominations, and New York State Broadcaster Association Awards? Check out our award-winning productions like Compact Science, Compact History, Let's Go, Brave Spaces, Klein Hands Gift to Buffalo, and much more on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel or visit WNED.org. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And welcome back to What's Next. Our guest today, Chantel Patton, the founder and operator of That Brown Bag Minority Business Directory, who has worked to connect lots of local businesses, most of them minority-owned, black-owned businesses here in Western New York. Let's give a little, I guess, shine to some of these businesses, right? Who was the first? Do you remember your first? You must remember who your first was.
Black Monarchy.
Okay.
So Felicia Natalie Dove, she at one point had a brick and mortar in the Five Points, West Utica, yep. Right there. She has since closed the actual brick and mortar. COVID happens.
Yeah.
But she's gone online and she's actually still like doing costume design. She's done costume design for Shays 710. But Felicia walked into her store and said, "Sis, I want to make a directory of all the businesses." And she said, "Whatever you want to do, I'm supporting."
Wow.
And to this day, she's still big brown bag day one supporter.
So yeah. We can still find her through the brown bag.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Just can't find her brick and mortar store anymore.
But you can do online orders with her, custom orders, everything. So she's phenomenal.
Have you seen a lot of that? A lot of people switching from the brick and mortar to the online in your directory?
Yes. Yeah. COVID. Like I said, COVID was like a hugely pivotal moment, not just for people health-wise, but commerce-wise as well, with people not venturing out into brick-and-mortar locations. A lot of retail spaces did have to pivot and move into more of an e-commerce, drop shipping, online retail space. So we did lose a lot of our brick-and-mortars, but they still were able to maintain.
This is going to be like asking the mother of 70 children who her favorite is. But is there a business, and for whatever reason you can flash this out, but when you think, boy, they went through into the brown bag directory, and that business, it's the one that shows the potential of this type of connection a little bit. You know, obviously, if they're still with you,
all my babies,
they're succeeding. There are all your babies,
brown bag babies.
But one that maybe say, boy, when you first got in, like, I'm not sure about this, and then here we are.
There's one that stands out, which would be Rada Baked Goods. Mm. I met them at a Saturday Academy in Buffalo Public Schools at West Hurdle. And when I first found out about them, they were inside of the West Side Bazaar. So they were part of Weedy.
Okay.
When the West Side Bazaar prior to the fire was on Grant.
Grant Street.
And walking in there and seeing, they had a little station inside of the bazaar, and I'm going, these cupcakes are phenomenal, but I need them to have more space.
Right.
And since then, I didn't even have to talk to them, like literally find them in the Saturday Academies. And then it was, actually they hunted me down. They chased me around West Hurdle.
Sure.
Which I'm grateful for. I'm so glad that was like a confirmation of the impact. But now they've got, you know, their location on Amherst in the Black Rock area.
Mm-hmm. Adam Harris, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Yes, and they do, you know, a lot of community engagement. They're the Thomases, and they want to also give back and educate as well. So seeing them come from a stand inside of Wheaties West Side Bazaar to a brick and mortar and to them giving back to the community that they sit in, that's why I do what I do.
You know, more than once during our conversation, you've mentioned I was out, I was at West Hurdle, I was here, I was there. How important is that attitude, that spirit, that energy for a startup business, especially somebody who is a minority-owned or woman-owned business?
Well, if we're talking about Buffalo, ingratiating yourself into the community is absolutely necessary. We are a city of show me first.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what you're doing and what you're about before I hop on board. And so being forward facing, being cordial, ingratiating yourself is absolutely necessary. I've got hundreds of businesses that trust me with their business information. And it's not just because, we've heard of Chantel. It's I saw her at Mana. I saw her at Trend Up. I saw her at Miss Eye Candy. She is, you know, on Facebook wearing a lavish sweatshirt. She's on Facebook wearing, you know, X, Y, and Z. She's sharing it. It's very paramount that you become a part of the community that you wish to extract from, because you're asking people to spend their money with you. They want to know, why should I spend my money with you?
Right.
So it's hugely, especially for a new business, important to become a neighbor.
You know, we've talked a little bit about how for a while you were going around asking businesses to go with your business, and then you realize that I'm still going to a 9-to-5 job every day, and so I've got to really live this, and then you decided to live it. At the same time, can you reflect on your personal change? Or maybe this is always who you were, that you're this outgoing person who is forward-facing, going to all these types of events, or is it something that you need to kind of push yourself over the edge a little bit to get out there?
I think it was always in me.
Yeah.
I think those types of virtues that they're either in you, yep, or they're not. They're in you, not on you. So I think it was always in me. When I started to do work with the love of my life partner, him being such a creative blew oxygen onto the fire that was already embering within me. So I definitely give him a lot of that. He's my muse type of
sure.
Deal. And so over the years, it has been a cultivation of something that was already existing. It's how do I refine it? I've done spoken word. you know, wrote poetry in high school. How do I refine that as an adult? Always had a love for music. My dad was a DJ. So my stepdad plays, you know, bass guitar in a 3-piece band. And so while I can't sing, it was finding ways to creatively align myself. And so, again, always in me, it just someone blew on the fire.
How intentional, though, was the growth? Or is it, again, all of a sudden just kind of came out of you? Or did you say, I've got to challenge myself to do this?
It's been really organic.
Yeah?
Yeah. We started doing something called the Dopeness Project in 2016. And it was my way of being aligned with the Buffalo hip hop community, not being an artist. So not being a rapper, not being a singer, I'm not a dancer. I can hold a tune, but you don't want me to hold it for too long. So we started doing events. We had a hip hop connection. We had concert series to give a platform, create a network, community. And it was all really organic. It was, you know, random ideas, spitballing over dinner. What if we did this? Well, let's try it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't, you know? And then we ultimately began to develop our own individual identities out of what we birthed together. And so we kind of, we have our ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. We do things together. We do things apart. We do things together. We do things apart. But they always bring us back to a creative space. COVID, I discovered paint pouring. I can't draw a stick figure, but somebody was like, well, you can paint a picture by pouring paint out of a cup. I was like, ooh, I don't believe you.
That sounds like spilling, not painting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's what led me into being able to teach abstract art in the Saturday academies. And a lot of people will ask me, do you want to do a paint class? It ties into mindfulness. So organically, I was bored during COVID, but I was able to turn it into another stream of revenue.
And you also, you mentioned this when we were on break, that brown bag, the business directory, it's filled with art and history as well, right?
Absolutely. I wanted it to be, and I still, you know, even still with the transition, wanted it to be more than just a phone book. This is, every edition is a collector's item. There is going to be gems of Buffalo history. You know, of course, I'm Buffalo bred, so there's going to be gems of Buffalo history. In this last iteration, you'll find pages that, you know, detail the history of the Colored Musicians Club, pages that detail information on, you know, our local movers and shakers, Tiffany Gaines, who's over at, you know, Birchfield. Yes. Penny, one of the first African-American, and she's young, curators, yes. You know, for Birchfield Penny. So, you know, highlighting these individuals as well, because they're part of Buffalo's history. You know, I like to believe that when my daughter's daughter's daughter walks into school, they're going to talk about her great-great-grandma.
Before we go to break here, and we should mention it now, we'll mention it before we end our program as well, how can people go about accessing the directory?
So right now, it is currently accessible through www.brownbagcertified.com. Mm-hmm. It's also available on Amazon. It is available in the Michigan Street Heritage Corridor. It's in their gift shop. It's okay. Also in the Niagara Falls Underground Railroad gift shop, their museum gift shop as well. And then you can find me, I'm Chantel Lynette, on all the platforms, or That Brown Bag.
Right.
And, on everything. Everything is consistently with That Brown Bag through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
And we've talked about the businesses that you are that have been connected and helped to grow through the directory. But what about the people who are finding it and using it? What are you hearing from them? That's it. Somebody walked into the gift shop and
I get good feedback. Yeah. This is awesome. I wish this would have been around years ago. When you have individuals who are dedicated to supporting small business, whether it's just small business or small black-owned business. These are the individuals who are actively seeking it out, and they're looking for a way to support But they're looking to do it in an easier way. I've Googled black-owned business. I've been in Rochester. Googled black-owned business near me. They sent me to a business that was clearly, when I walked through the door, not black-owned. So being able to ensure that the information that they're receiving is accurate, that's one of the things that I pride myself on as well.
We're going to take another time out. We're going to come back with our final moments with Chantel Patton, the founder and operator of That Brown Bag Minority Business Directory. And this is What's Next on WBFO.
Did you know that WNED PBS is always working on great new local shows for you to watch? Documentaries like Kleinhand's Gift to Buffalo, which tells the story of Buffalo's Music Hall.
The hall is very intimate, and that intimacy makes everyone who comes in here feel a part of our family.
Fun and educational series like Compact Science.
Believe it or not, peppers are technically fruits.
And Shakespeare's greatest hits, featuring some of his best-known soliloquies and monologues.
We are such stuff as dreams are made of.
You can watch them all on our website at wned.org/local shows. While you're there, check out the show pages and mini websites for additional content such as bonus features, photo galleries, and lesson plans. Find it all at wned.org/local shows.
We at Buffalo Toronto Public Media take pride in bringing you your favorite national programs like Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Morning Edition. But what makes WBFO so special are its local programs, learning together about how government works in bite-sized pieces on Compact Civics with host Corey McCamps.
Here's a quick guide on polling locations. A polling place is where you cast your ballot during elections. In America, the term polling place refers to the building, while polling station refers to the specific room or area where voting happens.
And diving into pop culture and local happenings on Group Chat with host Bentley and a revolving panel of friends in the know.
I really miss having to actually wait to tune in for a show and be there at the certain time. Like having to run home and like turn on the TV at a certain time to like watch your show.
Like more national unity then too. Like we're all
you know, everybody is watching at the same time, and you can like call and
ever
say,
since
did you
streaming
see what
has just gone downhill.
This is public media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
Welcome back to What's Next, final segment with Chantel Patton of That Brown Bag Minority Business Directory. Chantel, I mean, you're involved in so many different things. You're a total multitasker, as we can see. I'll take people behind the curtain right here. You're texting as we're talking, which is pretty amazing because I can barely
I'm
talk.
Literally telling people I'm on the radio.
Well, we're glad to have them along as well. But the different things you're in, and you know, we talked about this a little bit before, not on the air necessarily, but the Friday Night Cipher.
Yes.
This is an amazing, talk about bringing together the city of Buffalo. Let's talk about the Friday Night Cipher.
So the Friday Night Cipher actually started with myself and the love of my life, Jay Hawkins Sr. Yep. And we started that in about 2016. And we were literally just putting like calls out on social media that says to any MC, spoken word artist, let's do some lyrical exercise. Let's work on your performance skills. Pull up. Mm. And it would be random places. We did a cipher in the Delavan College train station. A gentleman literally saw us in the station, got off the train, joined the cipher, and then got back on the next train that came through.
Wow.
And it's just an opportunity to bring artists together, because sometimes it always feels like we're pitted against one another. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, we took a little hiatus so that we could explore our own individual endeavors, what we were doing. He branched off to do, his brand is Revolutionary Strokes. And then I started, you know, what we now know as That Brown Bag. And maybe about just shy of 2 years ago, Jay came to me and he says, I want to bring the cipher back, but I want to do it a little differently. Okay, let's do it. And so, now we find venues, especially, you know, it's difficult in the city. We're losing venues left and right. We've lost the Pink. We've lost Brick Bar. You know, I said we got to protect Nietzsche's and hardware with everything we got in us. We just lost, you know, Allen Pizza. You know, they just announced that they're closing. So we find, you know, hip hop friendly venues. And it's for those that are familiar, it's Jimmy Kimmel meets Big Tig of the Basement. So we have four headliners that each headliner gets a 10-minute onstage interview. And it's a deep dive into who they are as an artist, what motivates them to continue to create. And then they do like a 5 to 7 minute set. And then we have a cypher where MCs are able to get up. We play a locally produced instrumental beat and they do their lyrical exercise over said beat. And then we move on to another headliner. We do that four times throughout the night and it's communal. Like usually at the end, we have yet to have a venue say, y'all got to go. So, you know, it's one of those spaces where creatives can just come and be our weird selves, you know, and weird. We're trying to have people understand that weird is not a bad word.
No.
I'm weird and I love it.
You know? So it's great to know that there are spaces.
Absolutely.
That are friendly toward that. Like you said, most of them will offer to have you come back. So why don't we give a little bit of a plug for those places that you might be going to again.
Absolutely.
In the future.
Absolutely. So I want to give a huge thank you and a shout out to Milky's on Elmwood. Mm. Milky's on Elmwood has been a huge staple from the Dopeness Project all the way up until like now. The Friday Night Cypher is its own brand.
Okay.
It's the FNC. It's its own entity. So all the way up to now, the FNC in its current state. We've gone to beat battles in there, beat auctions. Other MCs have had listening parties and concerts in there. Milky's has held the Buffalo hip hop community down. There is also a space called Club Natural. It's a membership based speakeasy style club that I'm actually a member of. We have open mic nights for spoken word artists on Monday. It's called Hidden Colors Poetry Night, and that's hosted by a good friend of ours, Prophet. Where individuals can come if they're not necessarily MCs. Like I'm not, I'm a poet. So that's where I get to do my lyrical exercises on Mondays. And that's 41 West Tupper. We're down there every Monday. At one point it was going into places like Mohawk Place. So shout out to Mohawk Place. Thank you for all the years that you've given to the hip hop community. But OSB, Cider Works, is very welcoming to us. I had a wonderful, wonderful conversation last night with Alicia down there. And she says, as long as, you know, we're coming in and we're bringing in a vibe of positivity, they're welcoming. You know, it's one of those things where it's the frequency and the vibration that you carry into a space with you tells people whether or not they want to work with you. And these places, they're vibrating on the same frequency that we are.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Need a few more places like that, though, don't we?
We do. We do. My goal at some point is eventually to open one of those spaces for our creatives. So if anybody would love to invest.
Where might it be, Chantel? You have an idea that you'd like to be?
I would like to be somewhere between actually the Cold Spring area of Buffalo, where the top shooting occurred, and downtown Buffalo. I actually would love to be able to bridge or erase the disconnect between the east side of Buffalo and spaces like Elmwood Village and Allentown. They're connected, but they're disconnected. So if we could find some place like almost like a neutral ground in the middle of all of those three, I think that would be optimal.
It really, when we talk like this, it's so positive and so optimistic that, and I'm just going to ask you to kind of maybe comment on this idea that we all love Buffalo. We also know that Buffalo has its challenges. I don't think we have to necessarily go through all of those right now. But do you see that a lot of those challenges might be overcome by the arts, by the creatives here in this city?
Absolutely. Art, music, dance, you know, all of these artistic endeavors have the power to unify. They transcend languages, they transcend cultural barriers. two people can be looking at one piece of art and take away two different things, but they're standing next to each other looking at the same piece of art, and they don't care what the color of the person is that's viewing right. it next right. to them is. I do think that Buffalo is going to be reunited through the creatives of Buffalo, through your Jillian Hainsworths, through your Itina Fareed Cooks, through your Julia Bottoms Douglas, through your Jay Hawkins Seniors. You know, I definitely believe that it can't happen without the creatives, because we're thinking outside of the box.
That is for sure. It's Chantel Patton with us for another 5 minutes here on What's Next. Don't want to let you go, though, without talking about what's ahead for that brown bag in terms of you want to focus now also on a wellness directory, correct?
Yes. So in response to 514, we found that a lot of the local mental health practitioners and companies, they were on scene and responding. Yes. I can say, honestly, the first person that knocked on my door from a mental health response team did not look like me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done now is, through the request of the Buffalo chapter of the Association of Black Social Workers, is we have curated a directory specifically of culturally relevant care. Black mental health providers, Black clinicians, Black holistic wellness providers. So we're talking your marriage and family counselors, your social workers, your substance abuse counselors, all the way down to Reiki, yoga, Pilates instructors, to life coaches. What we have as a Black community is a stigma that surrounds mental health, medicine as a whole. And I think that in being able to sit down with someone who looks like you, can ease individuals into better self-care. My therapist is a woman of color, mm-hmm. you know, and to sit down in a therapy session and not have to code switch also means I'm healing. Because I don't want to sit down and talk to my therapist and still have to pretend to be somebody I'm not, because then that means the therapy's not working. It's not going to work. So I want people to have the understanding, A, you can advocate. You're not stuck with a therapist just because that's the first person you sat down with, and B, you have options. So you, just as you have options in the business world, you also have options when it comes to your own care.
So this wellness directory is something that we can be looking out for in the near future?
Absolutely. The goal is to release that during Black History Month. We're looking to have like a launch event close to the end of the month so the individuals can. The New York State Office of Mental Health actually commissioned 500 copies to be distributed through the community. And then anyone else that is interested in possibly having or distributing copies can reach out to me, and we can work out getting that into your spaces as well.
And so that'll also be at that Brown Bags website?
Yes, it will.
Which is, again?
It's going to be brownbagcertified.com.
Brownbagcertified.com. Check that out here during Black History Month, because it's coming very soon. We're coming down to the last couple of minutes here. So just maybe just some thoughts about Black business in Buffalo. Where do you see it going? And I guess, is there a level or a number or anything that would say, hey, if we get to here, this shows us that we are making real progress?
Well, when it comes to Black business in Buffalo, I really want people to understand, A, Black business does not mean cheaper. It does not mean discounted. It does not mean free. I think that people have this assumption that these business owners, it's a hobby for them, and it's not. I pay my daughter's high school tuition with my business revenue, you know? So when you are supporting a Black-owned business or a small business in general, you're sending 15-year-old girls to school, to high school. You are putting a 14-year-old little boy in a football camp. I do see that there is going to continue to be an upward shift for Black-owned business, especially within the city of Buffalo. There's an influx of funding and grants and things of that nature that have been slated. specifically for minority-owned businesses. It is in the awareness of the business owners that these funds exist. So definitely that's my job.
Yep.
You know, is to make them aware and to make them aware that there are things to do, places to be, and provide them with resources.
And if somebody is listening to us right now and saying, well, I know what Chantel's talking about, those creative feelings inside of me, but I'm looking also for the breath of fire to be put upon me. What do you say to them?
It has to be in you first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And once you figure out what your passion is, it will actually fuel you. So I didn't know that this was my purpose until God gave me the idea, you know? And it came to me scrolling on Facebook. So your ideas can be found in the oddest of places. But what service does it do to anyone, including yourself, if you don't at least try?
Great words to finish by. Chantel Patton, thanks for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you.
Chantel Patton, founder of That Brown Bag Minority Business Directory. This has been What's Next on WBFO.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.